privilege to be with you again, as Diane did just remind us all. I've been asked to do three in a row, and I'm excited to do that. When a preacher is preaching, say, three in a row or four in a row, and I've done five in a row as a guest in a church, basically you want to become as familiar as possible with the church, the people, and maybe check out the church website, etc. Except for checking out the website, that's the only thing I can do is, in these COVID times, is just wait and meet you. But it's all the same. But we're just people with a Savior. His name is Jesus. And we come from different denominational backgrounds, say. But really, the common thread that holds us together is the fact that Jesus is Lord. And you have your community at Generations Community Church. And it's exciting to be a part of it. And I'm going to preach today on Mother's Day. If you have your Bibles, there's the classic passage in Proverbs chapter 31. We'll get to verse 10 here in a moment. So I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I'm thrilled to be here. And next week as well will be my final Sunday. I have no idea what I'm preaching next week. That's up to the Lord to speak to me about this week to come. Mother's Day. If you were a child of the 50s or 60s, then you were the first generation to grow up with television. By the time a number of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s and early 70s were 18 years of age, researchers claim that we've already watched almost 25,000 hours of television. Now, today with computers, we're online all the time. I'm sure the amount of hours has even grown from that. But we spend a lot of time in front of the television screen over the years. Let me ask you, what was your favorite television show? What was your favorite day of the week for television? Maybe if you had a favorite show, you had a favorite day when that show was on. Well, for me, my favorite day for television was always Saturdays and at night. What happened Saturdays and at night? Well, it would start at about 5 p.m. or so with Walt Disney. And Disney introduced us to all kinds of wonderful characters and figures. My favorite was Davy Crockett, who wore the raccoon skin hat, King of the Wild Frontier. At 7 p.m., there was another great one, a Western, Bonanza, where there was a dad with three of the finest young men you'd ever see, Haas, Adam, and little Joel. These were the three boys. Just a great show, Bonanza. I don't know where I can find it anymore. I can't find it on Netflix or anything. I've tried. Then at 8 p.m., that meant bedtime for me and my brothers. But there was another wonderful show that came on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. Does anybody know? Hockey Night in Canada. And my dad, I realize now all these years later, he would put me and my two brothers in bed by 8 o'clock Saturday night so he could watch the Leafs game in peace. I don't blame him because I like to watch the Maple Leafs in peace also. But when I was a child, I would just remember lying in bed. It was church the next morning, but we would lie in bed and listen to the Maple Leaf game through the floor of my bedroom up, reaching my ears. And Dad was watching Hockey Night in Canada. There's some other great shows. There's a show, Fathers Knows Best. Ozzie and Harriet, My Three Sons. These were all classics in their day. Leave It to Beaver, the Cleaver family. Wouldn't it be great if we all functioned like the Cleaver family? June Cleaver, dressed to the nines every time you saw her, with beautiful dress and pearls. The dad, always in his suit, working hard. Two boys providing for the family. There was the older brother, Wally. And then the little guy, Little Beaver, the mischievous one. They would come home from school and right off to baseball practice, come home from supper. Everything was perfect. Remember the dinner table at the Cleavers, if you ever watched this show? White linens, candles, everybody always smiling and being polite with each other. The phone never rang at the Cleaver house during dinner hour. Just think of the Cleaver dinner hour versus your home dinner hour. You know, there was never a box, like there was ever a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken in the Cleaver household with everybody grabbing a piece, or this a box of pizza for everyone to take a slice. And then after supper, they would just get into their pajamas and everyone go to bed and fall asleep right on cue. But my favorite show of all was Mission Impossible. And I won't belabor the point, because maybe you're familiar with Mission Impossible, but they could solve big problems. Mission Impossible always solved big problems. Like, they saved the world in 55 minutes, every single show. And that show, Mission Impossible, is the most like the passage that you have your Bibles open to, Proverbs 31. And a book I read one time labeled this chapter, so there was an entire book about this one chapter, and the title of the book was The Wife of Noble Character, An Impossible Assignment. You know, the book of Proverbs is a fascinating book if you spend a lot of time in it. It's a book of wisdom. The author understands that knowing God is the key to wisdom. And knowledge is good, but there's a huge difference between knowledge, which is, as I see it, knowledge is having the facts, and then wisdom. Wisdom is what to do with the facts. So a lot of us have a lot of facts. We've got information. We've got the internet. We're bombarded all the time. But I ask you, where's the wisdom anymore? Maybe you've been blessed with the gift of wisdom. Maybe you are wise. That's awesome to hear. But I mean, we need to apply the facts that are the knowledge. So we have to live out what we know, and that's what the book of Proverbs is. That's what the book of Proverbs is. It's how to live out what you know. Well, this classic chapter about mothers is found in Proverbs 31. Consider the little quote by an author named Jill Briscoe. Her book, Queen of Hearts, describes the Proverbs 31 woman when he says, "The Proverbs 31 woman has long stood at the Statue of Liberty at the harbor of the City of Womanhood, welcoming all who flee from being anything less than perfect." So although we all may love our mothers and think they're close to perfect, perfection is a pretty hard task to attain and reach. Well, let's look at Proverbs 31. I want to walk us through these verses like I did last week. And we see that the Proverbs 31 had a great relationship with three areas. Three areas. And the first is her relationship with others. The Proverbs 31 woman had a great relationship with others. Firstly, the passage talks about relationship with her husband. We realize from what the husband is writing in these verses. Her husband, verse 10, he appreciates his wife. He said, "She is worth far more than rubies." Well, if she's worth far more than rubies, then she's doing a lot to earn that description. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 10, she's worth more than rubies. So he appreciates his wife. Verse 11, I'm just going to move through all the verses here quickly. Her husband depended on her. He writes in verse 11, he lacks nothing. He lacks nothing of value. That is quite an accomplishment for your child or husband to say, "I lack nothing. My wife is worth more than rubies. I lack nothing." Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm. Those are wonderful things to be able to say. Her relationship with others is exemplary, as illustrated in her relationship with her husband. But you jump down to verse 28, and we see her children. Because her children, in verse 28, arise and call her blessed. So that's the child talking about the parent. Now, you might get a glowing endorsement from your spouse if you're a mother. But to get such a glowing endorsement from your child, especially while you're raising them, or if they're adolescents, say, or young adults, they're not exactly walking around saying, well, my mother, I'm going to arise and call her blessed. It's not exactly how they talk about their parents, but still we see the beauty of the description here, her relationship with others. The Proverbs 31 woman has an outstanding relationship with key people. What can we say about mothers? Mothers are irreplaceable. I'm going to talk about my mother just at the end a little bit. But they're irreplaceable. You can't replace your mom. Consider what some children said. Memorable quotes that young kids said about their mothers. There's a little story told about a little guy that was at Meet the Teacher Night at his school where his mother came along. The boy was 8 years old. The teacher came to one of the parents and handed the parent a little paper and said, I think you're going to like this. It was one which the son had written. And the little boy had written for a school assignment the title on his paper and said, four things needed for survival. And so he wrote down the four things. He said, I need water, air, food, and my mother. So the teacher saw that, kept it for student-teacher interview night, and handed it off. Just a cute thought, and an endorsement by a child to a mom. Another child wrote, what mom means to a child? He wrote, a mother is a person who takes care of her child and gets their meals, and if she is not there when we get home from school, you wouldn't know how to get your dinner, and you wouldn't feel like eating it anyhow. So in this world, I mean, mothers are working, they have careers, both parents working. But maybe back in the day when mothers did not work outside the home, maybe the child needed them for dinner hour, and if they didn't receive it, they weren't hungry. One more. A first grader is giving his first oral report to his class. And the topic is what the student wants to be when he grows up. The little guy wrote, when I get old, I'm going to be a lion tamer. I'm going to walk in cages with dozens of lions. And now he has his classmates at full attention and walk around them, he writes, without fear. And they will cower in the corners. I will have a whip, and I will have my stool, and I will beat them down. While all the classmates are all wide-eyed with curiosity, sitting on the edge of their seats. And he goes on to say, of course, when I face all these lions, my mother will be with me. I mean, yes, mothers give us strength, but mothers are irreplaceable. Another thing about mothers exaggerate. I think that they're allowed to. I don't think God gets all worked up if a mother exaggerates to the point of it not necessarily being true when they talk about their child. But there's a little story in Calvin and Hobbes. Who reads the cartoons anymore? Well, this was Calvin and Hobbes. And Calvin says, Mom, can Hobbes and I go out and play in the rain? No, the mother said. Calvin asks, why not? Mom says, well, you'll get soaked. Calvin says, what's wrong with that? And the mother says, well, you could catch pneumonia, run a fever, linger a few months, become gravely ill, and die. Calvin, looking out the window at the rain, says, I always forgot, when you ask a mom, you get a worst-case scenario. Well, moms exaggerate. My mother exaggerated. There was me and my two brothers, and she raised us. Hey, my dad wasn't in the picture. He wasn't around. So mother was always exaggerating to get us to do things. Now, call it manipulation, but maybe not. It's called parenthood. You're trying to get your kids to do what they need to be doing. Another observation about mothers. Moms never stop wanting to see their children improve. No matter how old a mother gets, she watches even her middle-aged child for signs of improvement. You know, I've been preaching for 30 years. There's been times when my mother has seen me preach when I was starting and then seen me preach in the last few years. And even after all these years, say we're at a church service and she is attending it, she'll still say, oh, you spoke much better than you did in 1992. I noticed that there was a bit of a bad habit in your preaching. I said, what the heck? And to bring it closer to home, she'd say, well, you're responding better to Matthew now that I see you these years. Matthew's our son. When he was a lot younger, you wouldn't have handled that the same way. What? I wasn't even watching. I was the dad. I wasn't even watching. So mothers are watching us. They critique us. They want us to improve. And I don't know about you, but my mother was really bad at that. Or should I say good at that? Because my mother gave good advice. I was wise to apply it. So our parents, our mothers, want to see us improve. Mothers understand what a child does not say. That's a biggie. I'm noticing with my intuition as a father, I can pick up unstated things with both of my children. But that's a huge difference with mothers and fathers. I think mothers are blessed with the inherent ability to understand what's not being said. And the mother will say, "Did you catch that?" And the dad will say, "Catch what?" And she'll go into the scenario, and the man will say, "Our daughter didn't say that. She said this." And the mother, hear the unsaid message. Mothers never miss a thing. Mothers don't miss a thing. Mothers have intuition. Well, mothers have relationships. Mothers have unconditional love. What's more powerful than the love of a mother? There's an old poem, almost 100 years old now. "If I was hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I was damned of body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine." Mothers have unconditional love. When the child doesn't deserve to be loved, they get loved. Did anybody ever act in a manner, Kevin has kind of intimated it earlier, anybody act in a way that their parents didn't have to love you at that particular moment because you've been so rank or maybe other things? Parents still love their child, regardless of what either our son or daughter was doing or getting into, just being honest with their parents. And my mother, my wife is a mother of two. She's in another room. She's listening. Mothers have unconditional love. Mothers don't get the credit. Mothers don't get credit. Let's be honest. They don't get credit. There's a little cartoon that says, "Hi, Mama, can you sew on this button in a hurry and iron these pants and give me a cold glass of water? Thanks, Mama. Gotta run." Then Mama replies and says, basically, in the car race of life, mothers are the pit stop. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. The son or daughter may rush in, ask Mom to do a few things, and then as soon as it's done, they rush out again. That's motherhood. That's parenthood, too. There's a lot of overlaps between motherhood and fatherhood. I'm not going to be with you on Father's Day, but let me just say that every time I preach Mother's Day, I'm thinking of fathers, too, because there's the overlap, mothers and fathers. For every mother, there's a father somewhere. There's a lot of sad stories. These are not easy days for a lot of people, and I'm just acknowledging that here today. Motherhood and fatherhood, not easy, but let's stick with the motherhood. Her husband, her children, and then we move back up from the last verse we read to verse 20. So we read 28 and want to bump back up to verse 20. We see that her relationship with her community, verse 20. So there's a relationship with her husband, which we read. Her relationship with her children, which we've outlined and explained here a little. And then verse 20, outlined, we see her community. The verse says, "She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy." Her community. Now, we're in the throes of moving. That was announced last week. If I put it on social media, people know that me and my wife are moving. In fact, the room I'm in right now, this is my home office, it's the best looking room in our house. because as soon as we knew we were moving, immediately we're getting tons of boxes, and the boxes are getting filled. Well, when you move, and it's the perfect time to do what? Purge, throw things out. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw things out. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you are listening to me today, look around your house. You can throw things out. It's okay. It's legal. It's allowed. You're allowed to throw things out. Now, I'm the type that I'll just open up a green bag, and I'll say, okay, we don't need these things. We haven't touched them for 10 years. Let's fill them in the green bag, and they're going out. Sunday night for us is trash night. In fact, it's one of the favorite nights of my week because I can throw things out because that's what we like to do, hopefully. Maybe you don't. My wife, again, just being honest, I'll say, well, let's throw out this item. And she'll say, no, someone else can use it. And I'm thinking, well, who else could possibly use it? It's garbage. Well, it's garbage to you because you haven't used it for a decade. But someone else can use it. Let's donate it over to Lot 42, which is a homeless depot for people that recently got sold. If you're watching CTV Kitchener News, but right now there's the little Lot 42 community of homeless people in the little huts. And during the pandemic, they have decided to live there. And I said, they're not going to want this. But so again, I drive over because my wife's good with her relationships. And I say, hello, I'm here to make a donation. And their faces open up, their eyes light up. And maybe what you or I, me, was going to throw out, we were able to donate and give it to another person. Well, isn't that what the verse is talking about? Because mothers are like that. Female people are like that. Those are wonderful traits. She opens her arms to the poor, literally, and extends her hands to the needy. Now, that's the best example I've got. Or if you want to fill a bag or a box and take it to a donation box somewhere, they're opening back up. And there's a couple around Forest Heights here in Kitchener where I could put a box of clothing that I don't wear anymore or a green bag full of old clothes that we don't wear anymore. That's where that can go. Well, that's Proverbs 31. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. And you're being a Proverbs 31 man when you do that. We open our arms to the poor. Not easy to do. And we extend our hands to the needy. Not easy to do. I mean, I look around the community and I say to myself, who are the poor anymore? Because you can be on social programs in Canada, in Ontario, and can be, I mean, you can be doing quite well on a social program. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying people can live pretty well on a social program. But the key here is relationship with others, her husband, her children, her community. And I've belabored this here quite a little bit. Let's move on to the next point. And we see relationship with others and her relationship with life in general. Little poem says, I think my mom is really nice. If I'm ever bad, she puts me in my place. You can't imagine life without her there. As who would I talk to? Who would care? She's ever so nice when I'm around. Her personality suits me right to the ground. I hope she's always going to be my friend. Otherwise, the world, the child writes, would come to an end. Her relationship with life, and these are verses 13 to 27. I'm just unpacking everything you see, just highlighting. In verse 13, we see that she has a good attitude, the Proverbs 31 woman, a good attitude, exemplary, outstanding in attitude, not always easy. Philippians challenges us. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ, not easy. We move along. Verse 14, brings good news to the family. I'm just going to go down a number of verses here and touch on each one. She brings good news. I think a mother can really influence a family by bringing good news and make, sure that the news is good and saying it in a way that is positive. Mother, verse 15, her relationship with life is that she's a hard worker, I think a blessed mother works hard. Plain and simple, roll up your shirt sleeves and do all the duties that nobody knows that are being done. Verse 16, her relationship with life. The mother is a good business person. She knows how to pay the bills. Mothers are good like that. They're always thinking, making sure that the not so exciting side of life is being taken care of very easily. Verse 20, we jump down to verse 20. Has compassion. Proverbs 31 woman has compassion. She is a loving, compassionate person. Verse 21, plans ahead. We all need advanced planning. Do we wake up and just say, what am I doing today? Maybe we thought about it in advance. That's what my wife is like. My mother was like that. Advanced planning, knowing what's ahead and how you can do your part. Are you all advanced planners out there? Maybe you're not. I can tell by some looks. Maybe you're not. Well, Proverbs 31 woman, she plans ahead. Verse 25, she possesses strength. She possesses grace. Strength and grace. Verse 26, we see that her relationship with life includes wisdom. We touched on this earlier. Verse 26, wisdom. This is her relationship with life, others, but then life in general. The machinery of making a family function properly. The planning that goes into making a household run properly. I was talking to some people this week who their parents live with them. So the parents are elderly and basically infirm. And so the children, the son of the parents who married the lady, so she moved in with him. They're married, and then the parents live in the basement. So families come in all shapes and sizes. And he was having to take care of his mom this week. Had to log off a call just like this and had to put his mother to bed. So it was bedtime for mom. Okay, well, there's advanced planning. There's wisdom. This is the other side of life that happens on a daily basis. Her relationship with life is strong. And we see, let's go down to verse 30. And see what I'm calling her relationship with God. Her relationship with God in verse 30, which says, let me just find the verse for myself. Verse 30 says, give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Give her the reward she has earned, and give her praise. Mothers deserve praise. Mothers deserve thank yous. Mothers deserve thanks. Is your mother still with you in this life? Are you planning to call her? Will you be contacting your mother today? It's wonderful for a mother and father to just hear the words, thanks, Mom, you're awesome. Thanks, Dad, you've been great. You've been awesome. So this is verse 30, and as we read this passage, it's easy to center upon her accomplishments, because a lot of what I've read in the passage describes her accomplishment. But if you notice what's being emphasized here, verse 30, her attitude. Verse 30 is the attitude. Look at the words. There's just a few of them. But give to her the reward she has earned. The reward is the love of her children and spouse. She has earned that her works bring her praise. You pick a verse apart here, you see that there's so much in it. Her works, which we've described, bring her the praise, the verbs, the action words she brings. Works. Gets up early. A vigorous worker. Opens her arms to the poor. We've just discussed all of this. Extends her hands to the needy. Gives to the donation box instead of throwing it out in a green bag. I'm just trying to be practical here. Speaks. The words she uses are wise. And this is motherhood. This is motherhood today. I conclude and wrap up today just with one other little picture. We honor our mothers today. There's a little poem which I put here, and I put up on the screen both of our mothers, and that's my mother on the left, and that's Sandra's mother on the right. these are great photos of both of them. They're both deceased now. Both of our sets of parents are both gone. It's been a bit of a challenge at times, but consider this little poem about mothers. Mother on a winter's day milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove kids to school, did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, and did some chores. Cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood, swept and lugged it in, hugged enough to fill the kitchen bin, cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked the cake, then exclaimed, "For goodness sake!" The calves ran from the pen and chased them all back in again, gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all the dirty dishes, fed the cat and sprinkled clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play, "When you come to the end of a perfect day." I mean, that actually describes my mother-in-law, who was in a rural setting in Nova Scotia and functioned just like this. My mother had a job. She was on her own with us. She worked. And I distinctly and vividly remember my mother working every day and then coming home and tending to another of a pile of more duties. Motherhood, you know what? It's tougher than a TV show. It's tougher than Mission Impossible. Parenthood is difficult, but we're focusing on motherhood today. And I've thought about my mother a lot this week. I thought of my father too, but I'll think of him a little more on Father's Day. But parenthood, it's a tough job. Hats off to the mothers. Hats off to motherhood and those who endure and serve their children. You see in this passage that motherhood is a very difficult job. And my mother died in January of 20. She was diagnosed in mid to late November, I think, or mid to late early November, I think, with pancreatic cancer. And we thought, what in the world's going on? My mother's been healthy as a horse her whole life. This, what's going on here? And she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she had some symptoms, and then she rallied and was strong. And my brother said to me, "You're going to have to get out here," because she lived in Edmonton. He said, "You owe it to yourself to get out and spend some time with Mom." I said, "Well, all the reports are that she's doing well right now." He says, "Yes, well, it's still cancer, and she's got it." And so I went out that year in 2019, November of 19, visited with my mother, and she kind of rallied a little. And she was making me meals and talking and up and walking around and not lying on the couch, which she had been earlier. And the end of our few days visit, Mom gave me a kiss and I said, "Okay, Mom, back to the airport. Herman will drive me." She was remarried by this point. And I said, I'll see you at the cottage this summer." And that was the last thing we talked about in person. Into December, again, she was strong, and we hit January, and she went right like this, right down, and she died on the 14th of January. I'd gone back out a second time, twice in about a month and a half, out to Edmonton, and I mean, that's all going on the credit card. I didn't have money for any of this, and I said, "Lord, okay, you got to get me out there, help me to pay my bills later." And so we lost her. We lost her on the 14th. And that's the lady on the left. Sandra's mom died of cancer also. That's the lady on the right. And, you know, not to emphasize the horrible side, but just to stress that the Bible does say there's a time to be born and then there's a time to die. And on this day of honoring moms, you know what? I'll just throw, you know, point out the gospel message here. We've got to have Jesus in our hearts. We've got to have Jesus in our lives. We don't know when we'll be hit by something. We just don't know. So I leave that little thought with you today on the occasion of motherhood. that we would consider the Proverbs 31 mother and make sure that they are honored today in our lives, that we're loving them and giving them the praise that they deserve. And I spoke with Kevin earlier and Diane, and I'm going to wrap up and pray now for everyone. I'm going to log off the call because you've got some church business. But let me just say, today it's Mother's Day. Bless your mother. If she's still with you, phone your mother, text your mother, do both. Hey, I've said enough. We all know how valuable mothers are. Let's pray and conclude the preaching part of this before you attend to other business. Lord, we give you praise today. We give you glory, Lord. You created mothers. Jesus, you had a mother. You had Mary. And she was a hard worker, and there's much could be said. But Lord, we pray today for mothers, that on this day of Mother's Day, we would reflect on our mothers, our memory with them. Mothers themselves go through a lot of emotion. And I just pray by your Holy Spirit that you would be with each of us today as we reflect on Mother's Day. If our parents are gone, then we're reflecting on that. Perhaps a strained relationship that got repaired. Perhaps we live with some regrets. Hey, we all live with regrets. We've all got things we wish could have been different. But Lord, in the end, we ask you to be with us by your Holy Spirit on this occasion of Mother's Day. If we can bless our mothers today, let us do it with a gift or a phone call or a text or something positive and encouraging. We thank you, Lord, for our parents. We thank you for Mother's Day, Lord. And we thank you for the Proverbs 31 woman. A tough task, tougher than any TV show, tougher than any movie character, anything we see. None of that is real, but motherhood is real. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers today. May you know the Lord's blessing today, each of you, on this day. And I just pray that would be your experience as you go through this day of Mother's Day. So we'll see you next week. I'm looking to be with you one more time.